Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that I know Jesus and Jesus knows me. I'm glad that I love Jesus because He first loved me. Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Thank you for being here on this beautiful Sunday evening. Didn't the Lord give us a great day today? It was lovely, wasn't it? Amen. I think it's showing off a little bit. It was pretty outside. I was inside all day, but it was pretty outside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, right after service, our time of food and fellowship. Proceeds from this are going to go toward the van purchase. The van plan. We're getting there, folks. Amen. We're getting there. Amen. And don't forget the 27th, 28th, 29th. We will be having revival with the Blackshears. We've only got 3 days. So let's hit it with a bang. What do you say? Let's come with our shouting shoes on. Let's come with our praising clothes on. Amen. Let's come and get with it, everything that's in us. Amen. And give it all we got. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we get right into this message, allow me to make a pastoral observation. Would that be okay? Amen. Let me get real quiet here. Totally quiet. Everybody got your ears on. We have talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it one more time. While we're preaching, you don't need a cell phone out. If it rings, God forbid, you should turn it off. This is the house of the Lord. Amen. But if it does ring, and if you're expecting an emergency call, I understand that. But kindly slip out. Have the courtesy to go out and take care of business, and then come right back in. But do not. There is absolutely no reason for you to be texting during church. None. God's not into texting. If you're going to hear from the Lord during service, most likely you're going to hear it from heaven, through a song, or through preaching. God's not going to send you a message on your telephone. So put it up. There was a person that visited our service, and somebody texted beside them the whole stinking service and distracted them. And that was one of our people. Do you realize what you did? That somebody may have come to find God that night, but because you couldn't control your impulse and your telephone, somebody may not even have an opportunity now. And what you had to say was not nearly as important as what God wanted to say that night. Leave the telephone up. Does anybody understand? Is that okay? Amen. Is that all right? You don't need your telephone in church. That's why God sent you a preacher. He wanted to call you on the telephone, you wouldn't have to come to church. Don't take your telephone out during service. Now, if you can't control that impulse, sit beside your parents or some adult that can help you to control that impulse. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but neither do I want this to happen again. I can understand a sinner that don't know God maybe doing something like that, but a child of God distracting somebody, trying to hear the service? We don't want to do that anymore. I love you. That's why I'm talking to you firmly. Amen. That's why I'm talking to everybody. Because it's going to get a little more personal next time. Nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball. You don't want to do that. And I don't want to do that. But I can. I'm not scared. Amen. All right. This is a little pastoral observation. Praise the Lord. All right. One other thing. Let me just get this out of my system here tonight. And then we'll do it from time to time. But this is my job. But when ushers tell you something, young people and children, if those ushers back there say something to you, it's as if I said it. Now, I can say it. I can stop preaching and say it. But it'd be really embarrassing. So it's better if you just listen to them when they say it. So if you're messing around outside and they tell you to get in the service, that's Brother Grissom saying to the ushers, get in the service. Amen. So just, this is where you belong. Everything that happens during the service, unless you have some real pastoral approved business, needs to take place right in here. Now, is that all right? Everybody shake your head like this right here. Say, boy, you're preaching, Brother Grissom. Oh, that's good stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Sermon number one. Now we're going to sermon number two. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it was great before we had cell phones. I'd never had to say that. But here we are, 2012. All right. I want to read tonight from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 14. Pay particular attention to the first three words. Paul said, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. I want to focus tonight on those first three words. I'm going to make it four. I am a debtor. I am a debtor. And if I could add, so are you. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Some wit said, I owe, so off to work I go. That's what it feels like to be a debtor. I owe, so off to work I go. But we're debtors tonight. Every last one of us that are here. You're a debtor to your parents. They gave you life. They nurtured you. And that's why you're here. You're a debtor tonight because some teacher taught you in the classroom. If you can read tonight, if you can do even basic mathematics, if you can sing tonight, almost anything that you do, it's because you had a teacher. If you have a trade tonight that you do, it's probably because somebody taught you. If you can drive a car, somebody taught you or put up with you while you learn. Amen. Everything that you know, it's because somebody allowed you to be exposed to knowledge and to wisdom. So we are all debtors here tonight. In the spiritual realm, we certainly are debtors tonight. To spiritual leadership, we're debtors. To pastors and to Sunday school teachers and to youth directors and to choir leaders. And we're debtors tonight. We owe so many. We are all debtors. We're debtors tonight. Certainly to God, primarily to God, because number one, He's my creator. I live and move and have my being in God. Amen. And then secondarily, because I'm saved. I've been born again because of Him. So I have to say tonight with the Apostle Paul, I am a debtor. There are some things that I owe. There are some people that I owe. And because we're debtors tonight, because we've been healed, and because we've been delivered, and because we've been saved, we should feel the burden of the gospel upon us as the Apostle Paul felt to his generation. It's great that I've heard. It's great that you know. But hey, there are still people tonight that still need to hear that do not know. We take for granted tonight that people know what we know. But I'm telling you tonight, they don't. There are so many that have never felt what you and I feel. Brother Neil, I understand, and I want you to feel the Holy Ghost when you're leading the service. Amen. We don't want to just go through motions up here. We don't want to just get into a ritual. We don't want to just go through a form. Amen. But we want the Holy Ghost to move. And if we can feel it in the pulpit, you can feel it in the pew. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said they went to a church that had an icicle in the pulpit and penguins in the pew. Now that's a cold church. Amen. We don't want to get in that kind of a situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to have that kind of song where is God upon the platform and is God back at the door and is God in the amen corner and is God all over the floor. Hallelujah. That's the kind of service we have to have because we're debtors. Somebody pass this down to us. Somebody preached this gospel to you and I. Somebody baptized you in Jesus' name. Somebody helped you pray to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody taught you holiness and right living. Somebody loved you and had mercy and had compassion on you. So we're debtors here tonight. Anything that we are, it's because we're debtors. Amen. We owe a debt. Amen. Paul said, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. Now, by the time the Apostle Paul wrote that, Greek was no longer just a nation, but it was a cultural influence. The Greek language had touched all the world. And educated people spoke Greek in pretty much all nations. It was a common language. We read about the name Peter. That's a Greek name. His Hebrew name was Simon. His Aramaic name was Cephas. But we know him as Peter. That was his Greek name. Saul of Tarsus, that was his Hebrew name. Paul, that was his Greek name. See, almost everybody had a whatever their nationality, but they'd have a Greek name because of the influence of Greece. But the advantage to that is that everybody in the world could understand. The Bible, believe it or not, was not written in English. The New Testament was written in Greek, Koine Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Amen. So for people that don't like to read translations, you've got some studying to do. You need to learn at least two languages. And antique ones at that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to get myself in trouble here. But the Greeks had such influence in the world of their time. And you were either Greek or you were barbarian. And as far as the Greeks were concerned and the educated were concerned, if you could not speak Greek, then you were a barbarian. The word barbarian comes from barbar, because that's what other languages sounded like to them. But isn't it the epitome of pride and arrogance to think that, you know, other people ought to have to learn your language, and you're not willing to learn theirs? Like the fella said to the missionary one time, he was preaching, and he said, "Them folks over there where you going, they speak English?" He said, "No, they don't. They speak another language." "They's ignorant, ain't they?" Well, but just because a person speaks a different language than you do has no reflection on their intelligence. When I was in Europe, they got a joke over there. It says that, if you know, people that speak two languages are bilingual. People that speak three languages are trilingual. People that speak many languages are multilingual. People that speak one language are Americans. Maybe a little something to that. But that's okay. Amen. We don't even speak American around here. We speak Texan, which is a little improvement on the English language. But Paul said, "I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians." What he's saying is, I'm a debtor to the wise and to the unwise, to the educated and the uneducated, to the refined and to the rude. He said, I'm just a debtor to everybody that I see. I'm a debtor to the banker, and I'm a debtor to the dog catcher. I'm just a debtor. Amen. Everybody I see, everywhere that I go, he said, I am a debtor. And if we could understand that tonight, we owe this gospel to everybody. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it's not our job to choose the church. Amen. It's not our job to say, well, that person would fit in our church. That person would never fit in our church. Amen. Well, it's not our church. It's his church. You just go ahead and preach the gospel and let him build it. Amen. You just go ahead and tell people about this glorious gospel and let God take care of who he puts in here and who he doesn't. He doesn't need us to edit his choice. Amen. Praise, the Bible said the gospel is for whosoever will. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of us were not great choices. Amen. But God was merciful. And God was good. And God put us in his body. And I'm so grateful tonight to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'm like Paul. You're like Paul. We're debtors. Young people, you're a debtor to the people you go to school with. We're debtors to people we work with and shop with and live beside. Amen. We're debtors to our city. We're debtors to our county and to our state and to our world. We're debtors tonight. Amen. We've got a big price that needs to be paid. We're debtors because we have received the message of the great gospel of God. That's why we're debtors tonight. Amen. We owe the world the gospel. Brother Neil read my notes a little bit tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Immediately after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and after walking with them for 40 days, he gave them, before he ascended, his last words, he gave them a commission. We call it the Great Commission. A difference in a mission and a commission. A mission you may have to do by yourself, but a commission, you got somebody with you. It's a commission. Amen. And the Lord said he's going to be with us. Amen. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a mission, folks. Amen. Go ye therefore. When you see the therefore, ask what it's there for. And then go to the verse before and find out what it's there for. The reason that we're to preach the gospel is because He has all the power in heaven and in earth, and because all the power belongs to Him, and He has shared that power with us. He said, because of that, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And then He said, lo, I'm with you always. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a commission. We have a mission. Amen. And that's personal, folks. That's not just for preachers. That's for everybody. Amen. Each of us has the responsibility to share the gospel with people that we know. So God has given us, amen. I want to be like Paul. Listen to what he said in that 15th verse. He said, so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. Amen. Just the slightest opening was like saying sick 'em to a dog, as far as Paul was concerned. You open the door a little bit, pow, he's on you preaching the gospel. He's letting you know who Jesus is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you meet somebody and you say, who is Jesus Christ? I'm so glad you asked. And then begin to tell them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just look for any reason to give people the gospel. Now, we don't need to do it rudely and proudly and arrogantly. Amen. And self-righteously. But we need to share it from a heart of gratitude and a heart of compassion and a heart of mercy. Somebody said so very well, don't ever talk to people about God until you talk to God about the people. First of all, get that compassion inside. Let that love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And then and only then are you ready to preach the gospel to somebody. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of reasons people share the gospel. I've seen people share the gospel and they were so proud you could cut it with a knife. They were so condescending and cold. Amen. It was such a turnoff. Amen. But when you preach, let people feel your heart beats. Like one man had been through revival after revival, and he never came to the Lord. And one revival he responded, and somebody asked him, why did you respond this time? He said, all those other fellas told me I was going to hell, and they acted kind of like they was glad I was going. But he said, this man seemed to care. This man seemed to care. And so it's important that when we share the gospel, that we do it with compassion. We do it with mercy. We do it with love. Amen. So Paul said, he said, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Stay ready. Stay ready. Stay ready. Amen. Stay ready. The Bible said, you be ready to give people a reason for the hope that's in you. Praise God. When somebody asks you something, don't say, well, let me call Brother Grissom. Amen. No, you go ahead and tell. Amen. You know enough. Said you know enough. You don't have to give them an exegetical, perfectly defined explanation from Scripture. All you got to do is just tell them what happened to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Just tell them, you know what? I got the Holy Ghost. You ever heard of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Then just start telling them what it did for you. Praise God. You know what? And there was a time I wasn't like I am, but since I got the Holy Ghost, it gave me joy, gave me peace, makes me happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think serving God ought to be fun. It's not fun all the time, but it ought to be fun most of the time. Amen. Otherwise, you just hadn't found the joy yet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a good life living for the Lord. So Paul said, I'm ready. And then he said, I'm not ashamed. Now let me read you something. This is what Paul wrote in the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. He said, in labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, everybody say reviled. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things. Doesn't sound like he was too popular. We look at the Apostle Paul through rose-colored glasses and think, oh, if I would have lived in Paul's time and I could have preached back then, well, this is what it was like. Amen. He was reviled and he said, we blessed them. We were persecuted and we just put up with it. We suffered it. We were defamed, but we continued to entreat. We were made as the filth of the world. Amen. Didn't sound like they thought too much of Paul when he preached in a lot of places. He was not the favorite as far as the world was concerned. The Jews looked down on him and persecuted him and actually sought to kill him. Did you know there were a group of Jews that made a vow that they wouldn't eat nor they wouldn't sleep until Paul was dead? I bet they broke that vow. But they made a vow they was going to kill him. And they tried, but the Lord protected him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he had a tough row to hoe in his life. It cost him something to preach the gospel. And some people laughed at it. Why is it that it's so hard for us when people laugh at us? That it's just hard, isn't it? We don't like to be laughed at. We don't like to be made fun of. Anybody just really enjoy that? We don't like that. But the Apostle Paul and all the apostles, they had to put up, they tried to intimidate them. They called them names. Amen. The world hadn't changed, folks. The world hasn't changed. I mean, there's still some people that are not going to accept you when you preach this gospel. There's still going to be a price to pay. But Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm not doing this because it's popular. I'm not doing this because it'll make people love me. I'm not doing this to get stars in my crown. I'm doing this because I am debtor. I owe Jesus. Yes, I do. And I owe the world the gospel. I owe every person the opportunity to hear. Amen. We can't save anybody. God did not call us to be saviors, but He did call us to be witnesses. He just called us to tell people. We can't change them, but we can tell them. Amen. I love what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16:16 when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in the 20th verse, the Bible says, and they went. I just love that. Jesus said, go, and it says, and they went. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Scripture said, they preached everywhere. I say everywhere. Yes, they did. And then it said that the Lord was working with them. What was He doing? Confirming the Word with signs following. You want to have results? Preach the Word. Don't preach your opinion. Don't preach philosophy. Preach the Word. You want to see people get the Holy Ghost? Preach Holy Ghost. You want to see people get baptized? Preach baptism. You want to see people get healed? Preach healing. Amen. What you preach, God confirms. As long as it is His Word. God is not obligated to fulfill my Word, but He will fulfill His Word. And they preached His Word, and the Lord confirmed it with signs following. We have an obligation. We have a debt. We are debtors tonight. Amen. Praise God. And then Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Even though people don't understand it and people call them names for preaching. Did you know that our elders that started in this last day revival back in the early 1900s, you know, they really suffered a lot of persecution. I heard Brother Kilgore talk about when he was a boy, there were certain school districts wouldn't even let him register and go to school. We know that they had church in tents and built brush harbors, and it wasn't uncommon for people to burn them down. People threw eggs and raw fruit at them and laughed and called them names. It wasn't uncommon for them to gang up and beat them, literally beat them, just because they preached the name of Jesus. It wasn't uncommon for other so-called Christians to beat them, just because they preached the name of Jesus. Just because they preached Holy Ghost in Philly. But you know what? They kept on having revival. They burned one tent, they'd get another. They burned one brush arbor, they'd build another. Hallelujah. And they kept preaching. And people would come and hide out in the dark to hear what they had to say. And then the Holy Ghost would draw them into the light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the story of Sister Mangan's father when he got the Holy Ghost. He snuck off to get something, and he was drawn to a Pentecostal meeting. His wife told him, he said, don't you be going to that Pentecostal meeting. And he couldn't help it. Amen. He set out in the dark, Brother Neil, and the Holy Ghost brought him in. He got the Holy Ghost. He talked in tongues. He was so drunk on the Holy Ghost he couldn't stand up. Finally made his way home, talking in tongues. And he said a prayer right before he got to the door. He said, Lord, he said, now let me hush and help me to calm down, not be speaking in tongues. God did not answer that prayer. He opened the door and it hit him again. Hallelujah. He started shouting and talking in tongues, and the first thing she said was, you went to that Pentecostal meeting, didn't you? Well, it was obvious. Amen. Praise the Lord. It wasn't too long before she was joining. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, our elders paid a price to get us here. Amen. Then in the 70s, they started talking about glossolalia. Amen. Or talking in tongues. And it became more popular. Amen. I heard a testimony of a man one time. He got the Holy Ghost way back in the 50s at a Pentecostal meeting. And he covered it up for 20 years until it became popular. And then all of a sudden he was popular. He went everywhere talking about this. He said, I got it back in the 50s. Where you been hiding all these 20 years? Doc? Huh? What have you been doing with it? Hiding it because it wasn't popular. They would have kicked you out of your pulpit if you would have confessed it 20 years ago. I didn't have much respect for the man. And he said, I've got the Holy Ghost at a Pentecostal camp meeting. He said, it took me 2 weeks to get the Holy Ghost. No, it didn't. As soon as he repented and surrendered, he got it. It did not take him 2 weeks. It took him 2 weeks to get ready, but it didn't take him 2 weeks to get the Holy Ghost. As soon as he believed and repented, he got the Holy Ghost and so does everybody else. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Amen. So he got the Holy Ghost instantly. But he said it took him 2 weeks. He said, but I'm going to save you all that trouble. He said, I want everybody here. He said, I want you to just start speaking whatever's in your head. Just speak it out. Don't speak any English or whatever you know. Just speak it out. Well, there was a mighty cold spirit that came over that place. Amen. That's not the way it works, folks. Not the way it works. Amen. There's got to be repentance. Amen. And then you speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Yes, you do have to quit speaking whatever you know. But you'll feel the rising of the Spirit. And as you yield to that and let it put words in your tongue, then you'll speak as the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you, folks, some of our elders paid a great price for this. Some of them were, I've heard Brother J.T. Pugh talk about being shut up in a barn and beaten because he loved this gospel and preached it. Amen. Some of our elders paid a great price. Amen. And that was not so long ago. It's more popular today. But you know what's still not popular? There's two things that'll never be popular in the world. Number one is the name of Jesus. Amen. You get sticky about the name and you'll not be popular. The second thing is holiness. Separation from the world. Amen. People want the excitement of the Holy Ghost, but they don't want the separation from the world. Amen. But you want to get deep in God, you want to get close to God, you want to get sincere with God, you're going to have to come out of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm still talking about preaching the gospel. Brother Tenney said, you need to preach the gospel every day. And sometimes you have to say a few words. Amen. You preach the gospel, Brother Neil, by how you live. You preach the gospel by the smile on your face. You preach the gospel by the way you dress. You preach the gospel by the way you do speak and have your conversation. You preach the gospel by the things that you talk about and don't talk about. You preach the gospel by the places you go and the places you won't go. Amen. You preach the gospel in a lot of ways. Amen. Witnessing is not just saying. Witnessing is a state of being. It's not what you say. It's what you are. Amen. And so he said, we got to preach the gospel everywhere that we go. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Did you know that your witness can bring conviction? Have you ever noticed that you go into a place and people may be saying some stuff and all of a sudden they start apologizing for what they were talking? Why? You don't say anything. You don't tell people you're offended. Just your testimony, your witness, causes them to feel condemnation. Not because of you. Not because of what you, but because of the Spirit of the Lord that's in you and it's preaching to them. Amen. Your presence can preach to people. Yes, it can. Your spirit preaches to people. Amen. Brother, now, Pew had an idea that sounds about right to me. Amen. That spirits communicate. Our spirit, our human spirit communicates with other people's spirit. I believe that's true. I think that's how people kind of know one another. Have you ever met somebody and before you ever really even spoke to them, already you had we call it a kindred spirit. Your spirits had already communicated and your spirit identified with their spirit and they said, he's all right. And your spirit said, he's all right. And already you had a bond. And then you've had other people that your spirit rubbed up against and it was not warm and fuzzy. It was cold and prickly. And they felt the same way about you. And instead of there being peace and harmony, there was friction. You were nice to them, but you knew that you were already rejected before you ever opened your mouth. And there's something to this, folks, that it has a way of reaching out. There are some people, Brother Neil, you're talking about that group of people, that there's some that don't want anything to do with it. There's some that will not. Amen. There's some that will not. Amen. They're not going to have anything to do with you. No matter what they say, no matter what you do, they're not ever going to accept you. But there are others out there that are just, like he was saying, they're so anxious. There's something on the inside. That's just sin. Choose me. Let me in. Give me a chance. Amen. And that's who we're looking for. And you may knock on 100 doors before you find that one. I was in a church on deputation, and I heard a testimony of a man that had received the letter that said, "My daughter lives in your city." It's a pastor. Said, "My daughter's backslidden. Would you go talk to her?" And he went and knocked on the daughter's door and had a young man with him to accompany him. And he knocked on the door. The young lady opens the door, and he tells who he is and where he's from and states his business. And he said, "My dad just asked me, your dad asked me just to come and let you know we're here, and we'd love to have you come to church and see us, and you're always welcome." And he was just, he could tell she wasn't receptive. She wasn't ready. She didn't really want to hear what he had to say, and she was very resisting. She had a smile on her face, but she was cold and distant and wasn't ready to go to church. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost hit that young man that was with him, and he began to speak in tongues and wail and speak in tongues. And the door next door to that apartment flew open, and a lady stepped out with an ashen face and said, "What's going on?" And they said, "What? What do you mean?" She said, "Somebody's speaking my native language and calling me to Jesus Christ." The young man didn't know her language, but the Holy Ghost did. And the girl on that door, she wasn't ready. She said, "I'm not interested." But the one next door was dying, just waiting for an opportunity. And God got him close enough. And you know what? They got two for one. By the time that was over, the young lady that wasn't ready got ready. Amen. She saw the glory of God all over again. Amen. That's what Paul knew when he said, "I'm a debtor. I won't reach everybody, but I'm going to reach who I can. I'm going to reach who I can." We are debtors tonight. Our debtors. Amen. We have a responsibility to preach the gospel. It is the power of God. I'm telling you, when a soul is ready, this gospel has the power to transform their life. The Bible said, "To everyone that believeth," everybody say that, "believeth." Now that's what the power does. It will not override somebody's will. It will not force somebody that's not ready and not willing, but it will reach those that believe, and they will become believers, and their lives will be transformed. It's to everyone that believeth. We've got a job, folks. We still have to be concerned about the backslider. We can't let them go. We can't let them go. I know sometimes you get weary, but you can't let them go. You got to keep carrying them. You got to keep praying. You got to keep praying. You got to keep praying. Amen. We got a job. We're debtors. I'm a debtor. God's been good to me. Oh, He's been good to me. Because of that, I'm a debtor for the pride. I owe people. I owe people. I've got to pray for people because somebody's prayed for me all these years. I had a call this morning from my sweet little old cousin out in West Texas. She was weeping. She said, "The Lord just put you on my heart, told me to pray for you." And so she prayed for me on the telephone. That meant a lot to me. I'm a debtor tonight. I'm a debtor. I had a little mother that prayed. Oh, how she prayed. She had a fourth grade education. But oh, how she prayed. She never held had a career. But oh, how she prayed. And oh, how she cooked. I'm a debtor tonight. I'm a debtor. Oh, a debt. Oh, a big debt. That's why I can't stop praying. That's why I can't stop carrying the burden. That's why we can't lay it down. That's why we can't turn back. That's why we've got to press on. We can't stop. Amen. We've got to keep going, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm very well aware of the difficulties that we've been through. I'm very well aware that we have some detractors. I'm very aware that some people say some pretty bad things about us around here. I'm well aware. But you know what? I'm a debtor. I can't let that stop me. Because you know, I know it's not true. I don't care what they say. It's just not true. Amen. Praise God. So, why should I let that hang up my little gospel cloud? I'm not going to get in an argument with anybody. I'm not going to get any bitterness in my heart. I'm not going to get any bad feelings. Amen. I'm just going to let all that stuff go. Amen. God's going to deal with all that. And I'm just going to keep on praying and keep on preaching and keep on worshiping and keep on loving because I'm a debtor. I don't even have a choice tonight because I'm a debtor. I owe. Oh, how much I owe. I'm a debtor tonight. I can't stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've told this story before. I want to tell it again if you'll allow me to, and I'll close. My mom and my brothers and sisters used to pick up some children and take them to Sunday school. And one day when my mom went by the house to pick up the children, the father came out. And he was very angry and belligerent. And he said in no uncertain terms some very unkind words. And he told my mother, he said, "Don't you ever come to this house again. You're not welcome here. I do not want my children going to your church." And he made it emphatic. Well, my mom honored his wishes. She did not go back to the house. But the children would go down to the store on the corner and then pick them up there. But she kept her word. She didn't go to the house. Amen. And so time went on. Years, many, many years passed. Many years. Probably 30 or 40 years passed by. And one night, the Lord gave my mother a vision or a dream. And in the dream or the vision, she saw the face of that man. And he was in flames. And he was saying, "Somebody, help me." She knew that was not a bean dream. That was from the Lord. She found the address where some people had moved. She found the address. She got a dear sister in the church to go with her. And she went back to that house. Obviously, she had some anxiety and a little fear. Last time hadn't gone so well. But she knocked on the door anyway. The man invited them in, and she told him who she was. She called his name, and then she said, "The reason I'm here is because the Lord showed me your face in a vision. And you were in flames, and you were asking for help." And she said, "The Lord sent me here." And the man broke down and he began to weep. And he said, "I'm so glad that you came." He said, "I have emphysema. Doctors have just given me a short time to live." And he said, "I'm so afraid to die." Well, they prayed with him and his good wife. They invited them. They did come to church. Both of them prayed through. Both of them were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. He didn't live very much longer, just a little while. But you know what? When he got ready to make his journey, he was ready to go. Amen. He didn't go to the flames. Amen. He went to streets of gold and the arms of Jesus. We're debtors, folks. We're debtors. We've got to let bygones be bygones. We can't hold any grudges. We can't get any bitterness in our heart. We can't let any hatred get into our spirit. Amen. We've got to be compassionate. We've got to be merciful. What did Paul say? He said, "When I was reviled," he said, being reviled, he said, we didn't revile, he said, but we blessed. They cursed him and he blessed them. I'm not going to let that get a hold of me. You can't reach people up to, you can't pull people up to your level if you go down to theirs. You got to take the high road. We got to be careful, folks. We got to be careful because we are debtors, you and I. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt.